Amen. To whom belongeth thou? The Apostle Paul one time was writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. Here's what he said about preaching, about the preaching of the Word of God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How are people saved? By the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how God saves souls. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Maybe there's some listening in tonight. Maybe there's some here tonight in the church, and you wonder, why do those people preach? Why do they preach on the streets? Why do they preach gospel services in the church? Why do they hold gospel missions? Well, we do it that people might be saved. That's how God saves sinners from their sins, brings them to Christ, that they may be washed in the blood of a lamb and receive everlasting life. John Wesley, that great evangelist and preacher, said, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergymen nor laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon earth. This mighty man of God said, just give me 100 men who preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will shake this whole world in a sense, and the kingdom of God will be set up on the earth. Now I want to say to you tonight, wherever we turn in the Bible, you'll find the gospel. Remember Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You'll find it in passages in the Bible. You'll find it in gospel texts. You'll find it in types and forms in the Word of God. You'll find the gospel in questions. You think there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 13, or verse 3 for instance, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And there are many questions in the Bible you can read and you will find, and you will be challenged by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here tonight we have a historical passage dealing with the life of David. There's been trouble. Ziklag has been burnt. His people has been taken captive. He's going out. He's searching for his family again along with other men. And to come across one of these young men who had been in the city of Ziklag. And David comes face to face with this man, and he has a question for him. He has a very simple question to his heart. He says, to whom belongeth thou? And I want to look down tonight in this congregation and up tonight in the up in the balcony. Here's the question. Here's the question to your heart tonight, everyone in the meeting. To whom belongeth thou? That's my question tonight to your heart. To whom belongeth thou? And you can see here just a number of things. First of all, think about the young man and his connections. David asked him this simple question. Well, who do you belong to? Remember, David had never met this person before in his life. David didn't know him. And this man is brought face to face with David. And so naturally David asked him, well, who do you belong to, and from what people or what place? This was a question David wanted to know about his connections. Well, the young man tells him. He tells him who he belongs to. He says in the verse 13, I am a young man of Egypt. I am an Egyptian. In fact, in verse 11 it tells us that they found an Egyptian in the field. So he's telling here to whom he belongs to. He says, I am an Egyptian. He's from that land of Egypt. He's from that race of people who fought against God's people and who hated the people of the Lord. And here's a young man, and I want you to see this. He belonged to Egypt, and this meant this. He was a stranger to the people of Israel. He had no part in the God of Israel. He had no hope in the promises that the Lord had made unto them. He had no faith in the God of the Bible or of Israel. He was a stranger to God. And he was a stranger to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, he said himself, I am an Egyptian. He talks here about the place that he's from. He talked about the people that he was connected to, because he says here that I am a servant to an Amalekite. Then when you read the Bible, the Amalekites were certainly, they were certainly not a very nice people at all. In fact, they were a very wicked race of people. And when the children of Israel came out from Egypt, the very first people to attack them was who? It was the Amalekites. They attacked them. In Exodus 17 verse 8, it says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. This showed the character of this people. They were very, very wicked. Yet this young man says, I am an Egyptian, I'm from Egypt, but here I am connected to the Amalekites. And the Amalekites was a very simple, and they were a very, very wicked people. Also in his connection, he spoke about the power that he was under. For notice what he said here, I'm a servant to an Amalekite. What is he saying? I'm a slave. I'm a slave to my master. Whatever he tells me to do, I do. And wherever he tells me to go, I go. Now remember here, remember this young man. He's talking about his connections. To whom belongeth thou? He says, well, I am an Egyptian. I am a servant to the Amalekite. Was a very, very wicked people. But remember this, spiritually speaking, he didn't belong to God. He did not know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Spiritually speaking, he belonged to the devil. He was in sin and he was lost. To whom belongeth thou? This was the question to his heart. A very simple and wicked people. Like I say to you tonight, to whom belongeth I? And sometimes you meet people and ask you, well, where are you from? Where are you from? Well, some people ask me that question. I meet them and say, where are you from? I say, I live in Onalong. But I always go back to where I started off. I says, but I'm actually from a little village called Glen Ann. And I'd ask for a show of hands tonight if you've ever been in Glen Ann. It's Markey Till, Bestbrook, Newtown, Hamilton, around that particular area. But I always go back to where I came from. We like to talk about where we're from. We may go out maybe sometimes on holidays and we may like to say, well, I'm from Northern Ireland, I'm from Ulster. Maybe some people tonight, they ask you, to whom belongeth thou? He says, well, I'm actually from America. I'm actually maybe from Australia, whatever the case may be. But your answer, what's your answer tonight? To whom belongeth thou? Where are you from? Well, you have your answer. Maybe you say from Coleraine, Londonderry, from Belfast, whatever the case may be. What about your people? Whom belongeth I? Maybe tonight you can talk to me about your family, your father and your mother and your brothers and your sisters and your family. To whom belongeth I? You belong to some people. You have friends, you have family. But what about spiritually speaking? And this is what I want you to see tonight. To whom belongeth thou tonight? Because according to the Bible, there are only two families in this world. And here they are. It's the family of God and the family of the devil. That's the teaching of the Bible. Remember 1 John 3 and verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. This is a division. I say to you tonight, in the human race, there are not three families. There are not four families in the human race tonight. There are two families, spiritually speaking. There are the children of God. And it tells us here in 1 John, the children of the devil. And I asked you tonight in this meeting, to whom belongeth thou? Which family are you in tonight? There's a division. Some people tonight can say, Noel, I'm from the wrong family. Maybe you're an honest woman tonight. Maybe you're an honest man tonight. You're saying, listen, I know I'm in the wrong family tonight. I know I'm far away from God. I know I'm lost in my sin. I know I'm heading down towards hell tonight. You know this tonight in your heart. Maybe you don't know it. Well, I'm glad you're in the house of God. And Todd, you're listening to the word of the living God, that God would speak to you and say, well, to whom belongeth I? And I want you tonight to consider, which group are you in tonight? Are you among the children of the Lord? Or are you with the children of Satan? Remember, there are people tonight under the devil's power, because in Acts 26, verse 18, speaking here about the power of the gospel, to open their eyes and turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And maybe there's someone tonight in this meeting, and you say to me, Noel, I'll tell you who I belong to. I belong to Satan's family. I'm a great sinner in God's sight. I'm under his power. Well, whom belongeth I tonight? What's your connections? I want you to look into it tonight. Some people go on the internet and say, well, I'll do the family tree. It's a very difficult thing to do. Sometimes you get farther back than others. But let me say this. Go to the Bible and look at your family tree. Look at it. It runs right back to Adam and Eve, the fall in the Garden of Eden. We've all sinned against the Lord. There's a young man here and his connections. I ask you tonight, what about your connections? To whom belongeth I? Do you belong to God? Or are you tonight far away from God in your life and in your heart? You didn't need me to come tonight to Gilrean to preach to you, to tell you about your lifestyle, that you're far away from God. You know it. To whom belongeth I? Well, what's your connections tonight? Think about also, when you think of this question, the young man and his conduct. To whom the young man belonged to was going to affect his life. Going to affect his character. It certainly was going to affect his conduct. To whom he belonged to. And we can certainly see this in the passage that we read together. The conduct of this young man, I say to you tonight, it was fierce. He was a very wicked young man. You know what he said to David in verse 14? And we burnt Ziklag with fire. That's recorded in verse 1 here of this chapter. How these men came to Ziklag and they burnt Ziklag, smitten Ziklag, and they burnt it with fire. And the young man says, we burnt Ziklag with fire. You see, he's a very wicked young man. He's coming here with a Amalekite. Can you see them coming to Ziklag? They've got their burning torches. They're coming to the homes of people. They don't care about the people. They don't care about their homes. They burnt the city with fire. You see, his heart was full of wickedness. He didn't care about the people. You see, he was fierce. He was fierce in his conduct. Because he's away from God. You can see it in the burnings. You can see it in the bondage. You can see there at the beginning of the chapter, didn't take time to read it, they had taken the women captives. And on down in verse 3 about the sons and their daughters were taken captive. The ladies were at home at this time. David and his men were far away. They weren't at home. And so they come to this city. And what did they find? Women and children. Could you imagine the screams and the cries from the children? As you see these fierce Amalekites coming face to face. Could you see them being brought out of their homes? Could you see the children and the wives or the mothers watching and seeing the whole thing burnt to the ground? But this young man, he didn't care. He didn't care about them. They were taken captive. I don't know whether put in chains or whatever. But he got people and put them into bondage. To whom belongeth thou? You see, he belonged to the wrong people. It affected his life. And how he lived. And the lesson is very clear to all of us here tonight. To whom you belong to will show forth in your life. If you belong to God, here's the thing I want to say. If you belong to God tonight, then you will live right. I'm not saying you're perfect. There's not one of us perfect tonight. But if you belong to God and you're saved tonight, you certainly will show it in your life. You'll see it. People will see it in their conduct. They'll hear it in your conversation, in your actions. That you're different. You don't live for the world. You don't live for sin. You don't live for immorality. No. You live for Christ. They will see it in your life. Remember, it says to Zacharias and Elizabeth, In Luke chapter 1 verse 8, that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Here's a man, a woman who knew Christ as her Savior. And they're living a righteous life. And they're seeking to keep the commandments of the Lord. You see, they belong to Christ, you can see it in their life. But how different it is to those who belong to the devil. You can see it. You can see it. Do you remember the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 44, speaking to these religious Jews, he said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." And he said, "Hey, listen, do you see your life? Do you see your conduct? You're going to do the works of the devil. That's what you're living. That's what you're doing. He's a liar. You will lie as well." Do you remember Paul writing to the church at Ephesus? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he reminded the people of how they used to live. And how they were under the bondage of the devil. And he says to them, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." But he's reminding them how they used to live. They used to live according to the devil. You see, they belonged to him. They lived according to his power, to his dictations, to his way. He controlled them. He's over. Now, I'm not saying they knew this. They certainly probably did not know it. But they were under the power of Satan because they belonged to them. And that's why they lived such a life. Don't you lift up the newspapers today? We read the newspapers. We watch the news. We see the wickedness, the murders, the fighting, the fears, the tears, the sorrows. We read of people living a life of sin. And we ask the question, how is it? How is it they're living such a life? To whom belongeth I? They're in the wrong family. They're away from God. That's why they're living such a life. That's why we hear blasphemy. That's why we see works of wickedness all around us, you see. You can see it certainly in the lives of people. Whom belongeth thou? Is shown in their conduct at night. Maybe I said to you tonight in this meeting, why is it you're living the life you're living? Why is it you do the things that you're doing? It's to whom you belong to. You don't belong to God. If you belong to God and you were saved and washed in the blood of Christ, if you had the testimony that we were singing about tonight, that love lifted me, that Christ rescued me, he saved me, he cleansed me, he gave me everlasting life, you would not be living the life you're living. You belong to their own family. You can see it in your life. You can see it. Remember, all the sins are yours. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Notice, all the world become guilty before God. The Bible is very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes everyone in this meeting. I say to you tonight, it includes everyone outside the meeting. We have all sinned against God in word and thought and deed. And it is certainly true in the lives of some people here tonight without Christ. You can see it in your conduct. In your own pride. Maybe your conduct is fierce. Maybe you hide from your best friends tonight the wickedness of your heart and the wickedness of your actions and of your sins tonight. Here's a young man. He's in the wrong company. He's in the wrong crowd. And his whole life was wrong. He was fierce. Is that you tonight in the meeting? Are you held by drink? Are you held by immorality? Are you held by drugs tonight? You see, you belong to your own family. And therefore you're fierce. Your actions are fierce tonight. It made also this young man feeble. Because you notice in verse 13, he says that he was lying sick in the field. He couldn't move. Do you know something? He was helpless. And this young man, except David then came along his pathway here, he was certainly going to face death. But remember this. The lifestyle of this young man put him in the broad of his back. He was lying in a field. This all happened to him because to whom he belonged to. If he did not belong to the Amalekites, he would not be in this position. He would not be in this position. He would not be lying feeble in the field. He would not be facing death in this fashion. But to whom he belonged to? Oh, what can I say to you tonight? Sin brings a person low. It brings them down. The devil, you know, promises many people, follow me, do this, and it'll make you happy. You'll be the happiest person in Coleraine, because we are in Coleraine tonight. You just take these drugs. Man, it's just what you need. You just take this alcohol. This is what you want in life. Come into the pubs and clubs and do these things. This is the life. He promises. He promises pleasures. He promises joy to people in the world tonight. But he doesn't tell them. He doesn't tell them it will destroy them. A sin destroys the people. And people tonight, I say to you, are held in bondage of sin. The Bible talks about people in Romans 5, verse 6, without strength. And there are people tonight along in our problems, and they're lying in their sin, and they can't get up. And in the past week, you maybe saw it yourself in a news broadcast, it showed us people in Belfast who had died because of drugs, and they're lying in the streets of our city. And perhaps in Coleraine, there are people down tonight, down. And they're feeble. And they're trying, and they're trying to get up, but they can't get up. Sin brings you down. It brings you down to the gutter. Maybe there's some tonight listening to me, and your life's wrecked, and your health is wrecked, and your family is wrecked, and certainly your soul will be lost because of the life that you're living tonight. Sin will bring you down. Get down to the gutter. There is to whom belongeth thou. He's lying in the field. He's helpless. He's weak. He can't get up himself. Oh, can you see something else with this man? Because of his conduct, he was forsaken. You see in verse 13, he says, and my master left me. He left me. The master wasn't the only one to leave him. The others left him as well. They didn't care about him. Look, they just used this young man to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to burn Ziklag with fire. They wanted to take the spoil, the riches that David and all the people had in their homes, and to take the people captives. But now this job was done, and this young fella, he falls down sick on the field, and they leave him. They nearly, in a sense, tramp over the top of him, and they move on. Do you see him? Do you see where he is now? Do you see where this young man is? He's alone. He's alone. There he is in the field, lying down, helpless and weak. He's alone. I want to say it to the unsaved tonight, because we preach out of experience. We have been perhaps where some people are listening in tonight, but you have been. What I mean by that? Away from God and lost and feel alone. I'm sure there are people tonight in this congregation who see it, could give your testimony. Why you're in the world, in the pleasures of the world, and the sins of the world, and the corruption of the world. There was this loneliness within your heart. You felt alone. Doesn't matter if you're surrounded with many people. There was this happiness and loneliness within our hearts because we felt alone. You see, here's the thing. We were without God. We were without Christ. Do you remember in Ephesians chapter 2? And verse 12, Paul writing to the people here at Ephesus, he said, at that time, listen to these words, you were without Christ. So they didn't know Christ, didn't have Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And without God in the world, they hadn't Christ. They had no hope and they had no God. And they're just like this young man, lying there in the field, forsaken. That's what the devil does, doesn't he? He gets people into great trouble. He gets people to commit great sins. And they're lying helpless and hopeless. And he leaves them, in a sense, to themselves. He doesn't care, you see. That's how the devil treats his servants. Here's a young man here, and his conduct, it was fierce, made him feeble. But what a picture of the unsaved tonight. I ask you, unsaved tonight, do you feel the void within your heart? Do you know your sins has taken you far away from God? Are you described here in the words, without God, without Christ, listen, having no hope in this world? This is what sin does to people. And so we find here the young man and his connections, and the young man and his conduct. Is that what sin has done to you tonight? Promised much to you, but it's wrecked your life. It's wrecked your family. It's going to destroy your soul, as you see in a moment or two, because you belong to their own crowd. But think of the young man and his condemnation. This young man belonged to a people that were facing the condemnation of the future king of Israel, David. And we read together, David and his men were on the war path. They had come back and had found the city burnt with fire. And they're weeping and they're crying unto God. And David is asking the Lord, will I pursue after them? And God says, pursue, thou shalt without doubt recover all, get after them. And David and his men of war were coming. They were coming after this young man. But I want you to see this. He didn't know this at all. He didn't know David and his men were coming at all. You see the concealment of this condemnation. He was under condemnation and didn't know it. And his friends who went on without him, in verse 16, they were having a party. They were eating and drinking, it tells us. They were having a party. They didn't know, listen, they didn't know that David was coming. They didn't know they're under condemnation as well. There are many people tonight living in Coleraine, don't know. Because of your life you're living, because you have sinned against a great and holy and mighty God, that you are under condemnation. The wages of sin is death. In John chapter 3 verse 18 it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Now think of those words, condemned already. It's not saying they have to go before God in judgment and find out if they are condemned. That is not the case. That is not the teaching of the Bible. The Bible says they're condemned already. That means you are condemned already tonight because of your life and because of your sin. Maybe you say, no, I didn't know this. Well, I'm glad I'm able to tell you. You're under God's wrath because of this. In verse 36 of John chapter 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And notice the words, the wrath of God abideth. In other words, it's hovering over the top of them. And tonight in this meeting, unsaved person, over your head is the condemnation of God. You may go to work. You may go among your family. You may go about with your friends. You may go to school if you're younger here tonight. But the condemnation of God, it's hanging over your head. And when you put your head tonight on the pillow, remember the words of God. You're condemned already. And remember that over your head is the wrath of God. There are people tonight going to sleep in nice comfortable beds and pillows. I have one myself, so I'm not complaining about that. But they don't know. They don't know they're condemned because of sin. They're without God, without Christ. We're here tonight to tell you that you are condemned. That you're lost without Christ. Oh, there might be the concealment of it here. He didn't know it. But tonight we're telling you that the wages of sin is death. There's hell at the end of the Christ's life for those without Jesus Christ. And the very certainty of it as well, because as I said to you, the Lord told them, David, go, and I shall without doubt recover all. So David knew he was going to win. He knew he was going to catch up with these men. He knew he was going to deal with them. You can be certain tonight, according to the Bible, of condemnation. Condemnation of God will fall upon this world. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in flaming fire, the Bible says, going upon his people with everlasting destruction. You can be certain tonight there's a price to pay for sin. Are you willing to pay that price? It's death. It's eternal death. It's punishment. It's in hell forever. In Revelation 20 and verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's the end of it all. Maybe you said tonight, Noel, I never heard about these things. Well, thank God you're hearing about them tonight. This young man never heard about these things. But to whom belongeth I? The young man is condemnation. You're in the wrong crowd tonight. You're living the wrong life. You're away from God. You're without God, without Christ. No hope. Condemnation is facing you tonight. Condemnation of God. And of course we all deserve it. Everyone deserves it, of course. God is a just and holy God. We have failed him. We break his laws. We deserve to be punished. That is true of everyone. That is true of the unsaved tonight. That God will punish you for your life. The life you are living without him. But think lastly and quickly here about the young man and his conversion. Because you see the young man lying in his field. And the wonderful thing is he changed his allegiance. And he joined in with David. And David's question, whom belongeth I? And he's there in verse 15 here of this particular chapter. And David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that I will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. Notice the words, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, do you notice? He joined in with David. He changed his allegiance to David. Not the Egyptians anymore. No, not the Amalekites. He changed his allegiance. Oh, there was his confession, of course, to David. For David asked him what had happened. And he says in verse 13, he fell down sick. In verse 14, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherenites and upon the coast and that belongs to Judah and upon the south of Caleb. And notice what he says. And we burnt Siglag with fire. Now notice what he said. We burnt Siglag with fire. He didn't say they burnt Siglag with fire. He says we did it. You know what he's saying to David? He says I did it. I did it. As here's an honest young man before the king David, or David the future king David. He's being honest. He says I did it. And you know something, to be saved, you have to be honest with God. You have to confess your sins to the Lord. And the Bible says in Psalm 32 verse 5, David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And I forgive us the iniquity of my sin. Here's what he says I'm going to do. I'm going to acknowledge my sins. I'm not going to hide them. I'm going to confess them unto the Lord, and I forgive us the iniquity of my sin. But notice, he's being honest. Now, if you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to be converted, if you're ever going to change over from sin to Christ, then you've got to be honest. You've got to repent, turn from your sin, and come to Jesus Christ. Listen, and confess your sins. Tell the Lord about them. Confess your loss without Christ. David, listen to this young man's confession. You need to confess your sins to Christ. Remember, it says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if you come as a sinner to Jesus Christ and confess, Lord, I'm wrong, I'm lost, I'm sinful, I'm wicked, and I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to save my soul. I believe you died for me and you shed your blood upon the cross and there's no other hope for me and there's no other Savior for me, but I trust you, Lord, to save me. Lord, I come to you just the way I am. Here's a great thing on saved person tonight. The Lord will save you. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles in Psalm 34 and verse 6. God will hear your prayer. If you made it tonight, I mean, if you want to be forgiven, if you want to be saved tonight, if you want everlasting life, if you want to be taken from this wicked, sinful family of the world tonight and the devil and brought into God's family, then turn to Jesus Christ. Turn to Him with all your heart tonight. You know He would save you. What an amazing thing, the salvation of God tonight. You know what the Lord Jesus said, and I want to say this to unsaved people tonight. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, no, would the Lord perceive me? After all I have done in my life, listen, come to Jesus. Come the way you are to Him. And put your faith and trust in the Lamb of God. I want to tell you, He'll bring you in. This young man was changed completely. In his service, he worked with David. He took the men down, and he was spared as well. David slew the men, but no, not this young man. You see, he got salvation. And there's salvation in Jesus Christ for you tonight. If you turn to Him. If you let go of the world, let go of your fears, let go of your sin, and come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to change my life. I want you to wash away all my sin. He'll do it. He'll do it. And He'll make you a new person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things, listen, become new. The Lord can make you a new person. We were singing tonight, love lifted me. And that wee man, that young fellow in the field could have sang, love lifted me. And you know the Lord can lift you tonight. You're down the gutter, are you? Are you held by sin? Christ can lift you up. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what the gospel means, you know. It's good news. Why we tell people about their sin and we tell them about hell, we have to be faithful to the word of God. But the good news is that Jesus saves and His blood washes whiter than the snow. He can wash you tonight. Would you come to Him? Would you be saved? You're not fed up with the world? You're not fed up with the life you're living. Come to Jesus. If you'd like to speak with me or somebody else, speak with us. Don't go home without Christ. I want to ask you the question in closing. To whom belongeth I? Who? To whom belongeth I tonight? Thank God you can change over. Not one of a thing. I can't change my family. And I don't want to change my family over. I'm Noel Shields and that's it. That'll be the way for us. But I tell you this, I'm glad I've changed from the devil's family to God's family. A child of the King. He can do that for you tonight. May God write His